board members, including our new board members present. Superintendent Davis and Jared Black, our business administrator. And we're grateful, glad to be at Canyon View Junior High. We will begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right up here in the front.
Oh, there it is.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next item is swearing in of re-elected re-elected and elected board members, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yes. So, where do you want us, Jared?
Okay, why don't the three of you come over here? Stand right in there and face the audience here. I want to be out of the way, so, all right.
Out of the picture is what you mean.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so we'll have you do this together. So to start, I'll say state your name, and you should do it at the same time, and then the rest of it. Okay, I, state your name. Yes, no, you're right. I, and state your name.
I, Laurel Johansson.
Having been elected to the office of school board member.
Having been elected to the office of school board member.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Congratulations.
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 And if you want to stick around.
They're out of here.
I don't blame you, see, I'm not gonna do it too.
Okay, elections of school board officers. So nominations are in order for school board president.
I nominate Laurel Johansson as president.
Any other nominations? Okay, hearing none. All in favor of electing Laurel Johansson as school board president, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We need a school board vice president. School board vice president, nominations are in order.
I'm gonna do it again.
Doesn't matter. Okay, we gotta change stationery anyway. If you wanna change it, it's fine with me.
We do have to change. No, but
I'd like to nominate Tracy.
Oh, okay.
Because we'd have to change their names anyway.
That's true. That's true. I can second that.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, appointment of business administrator. Can you?
Do we have to reappoint him again?
Do we have to, is this just a?
It's the every 2 years.
We do it every 2 years.
All right.
I can enthusiastically.
I can enthusiastically second it.
Jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, consent agenda. The warrants, the minutes for December 2016 meeting, and the financial reports for December 2016. Any questions on those?
I called with my questions. I move we accept them as they've been presented.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval.
I have one name. I would like to recommend Donette Gordon as secretary at Huntington Elementary.
I'll make the move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
She'll do a good job.
Yeah, she will.
Who seconded that?
Roy.
Marie did.
I second.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Request for out-of-state travel. EHS Youth Coalition and Green River High School FAPS program.
So the Emory Youth Coalition last year went to Washington, D.C. Last year they presented to you guys that they are very involved students, and this year they couldn't make it to board meeting tonight, but they would like to go to that again. Three students would be attending this year, and it's February 6th through the 9th. We'll be leaving the 5th and returning the 10th. And this is for a training to help students learn how to do prevention for drug and alcohol and tobacco prevention in the community and in our school. So it's a good opportunity for them.
How did it go last year?
Really great. We had 5 students that went last year, and we really didn't have any problems. They learned a lot. It was a really good opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. for them to kind of learn about our nation. We did some touring, and then the actual training was really helpful. They target it specifically for youth, so it's really hands-on, and it's a good training for them. They come up with plans.
Did I read there were three chaperones?
No, two chaperones.
Two chaperones,
It would be me and then Tiffany Van Sickle. She's out of Moab. She's with Four Corners. Okay. Four Corners Mental Health would be paying for the trip, including travel and like meals and things like that. We are asking that the students try some fundraising to help support. One of the students got a scholarship to go through CADCA. That's the company or the, I can't think of what to call it, but that's who puts on the training. And they gave her a scholarship to go. So that's J-Lo asking. So
okay.
When they come back, do they use some of the training to educate kids in our schools too then?
Yeah, so we have a larger group of a youth coalition, so it's not just the three.
Okay.
We've got a pretty big body of students that are members of the youth coalition. And they do things like after game events to get kids so that they're not out drinking and things like that.
Yeah.
So those type of things. They do have one event coming up to help Four Corners. It's a Parents Empowered. They're going to be training parents on how to help your children not use alcohol and drugs. So they'll be helping do. They're actually going to be presenting at that training as well as provide babysitting and help with the meals and stuff like that too.
Fantastic.
So it does require more than just the three students that go.
Sounds worthwhile to me. I would make a move that we approve of it. Plus we don't even have to pay for it. So.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Ashley, for what you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Green River High FACS program. Is there anybody here to, or do we just need to?
I don't think
okay.
there is.
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, why don't you just explain
bit?
It so everybody's aware of that?
Okay. So, Mrs. Suarez at Green River High has requested, I have the vehicle request here, so I'm just kind of going
okay.
off of that, but has requested to take, I believe, 6 students. Herself and 6 students in the district suburban across state lines. That's why the request is coming to you. But be into Grand Junction to a hospital there to donate some blankets to the NICU at the hospital as kind of a service project for that organization.
So they must be making those in class, is that right?
I assume so.
Yeah, she's a family consumer science teacher.
Well, it's a lot easier than going to Salt Lake and doing that.
Yeah.
And it's not an overnight, right?
Not an overnight.
Just out of state.
No, they'll be back that night.
They would be leaving at 3, so at the end of the school day, and then returning by 9:30 that evening on the 18th.
Okay.
I move we approve that, and also, sorry, Marie.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We do have an overnight travel request for the Junior High Honor Choir.
And Dave Burt has asked me to read this letter. So it says, the UMEA Junior High Honor Choir will contain 250 to 300 students from junior highs across the state. The CBGH has four boys and four girls participating. Dave Bird will be chaperoning the students and driving them in the Suburban to the rehearsals in the Orem Provo area on Saturday. We will leave at 6 a.m. on Friday the 27th and rehearse in Provo from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. There is a rehearsal on Saturday the 28th in the afternoon at 3:30 p.m. in Abravanel Hall with a concert that evening at 7 p.m. We normally don't need an overnight trip, but there is the same type of trip with the high school. They are rehearsing from Friday 9 a.m. until 8:30 p.m. and again in the morning from 9 until 1:30. Their concert will be at 2 p.m. I have chaperones leaving with the high school students and we will be arriving at the same motel room for the evening. I will be with the junior high students and we will spend part of the evening sitting in on the high school rehearsal. Saturday morning, the junior high students will attend an organ recital on Temple Square and then attend the high school concert at 2. Then they will begin their rehearsal at 3 in preparation for the concert that evening. We will return to Emory County directly following the concert. It will be a late night, but we should still be able to make a meeting the next morning. I have Bart and Marilee Cox and my wife Kate Bird traveling with the high school choir. There are 13 students participating with the high school choir. We will all share duties with the students at the hotel, but I will transport the junior high students and will be with them for rehearsal.
So it's Canyon View and the high school, not San Rafael, that you're aware of?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that answer. I don't think so. I think it is just Canyon View students. Are the junior high students in question?
Okay.
Those are the students I've seen him practice with,
all
so
right.
I'm assuming that is.
All right. Well, thank you for that information. We
so there are
that.
Eight.
Is he asking for two Suburbans?
I think he would need two.
Yeah.
I think there will be.
Suburban only held seven.
I think there will
how
be.
How many total students?
If I understand this, I think there will be a Suburban for the high school students and one for the junior high students
mm-hmm.
because they need to be there at different times.
So who is the other chaperone?
I think their Suburbans can handle eight, can't they?
I think
no.
eight.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't have information.
It depends on the size
eight.
Of the ones in the back seat.
Yeah.
That's probably
well, one
true.
Of those would be the
yeah,
driver.
Yeah, they have to have
so.
Seat belts for each one. Doesn't matter the size.
Yeah.
there are eight seat belts.
Yes,
yeah.
But you have to have a driver.
Junior high kids.
Yeah, I would say they'd need a Suburban MSR if they
well, I can work that out. As
yeah,
long as they've
we'll work
got
that
the
out.
Chaperones.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the chaperones are all right. Yvonne, I have one suggestion, and I'd like to move that we approve it, but would you please tell them the stipulation that we
mm-hmm.
have is that they have two. I've been there as a chaperone before and have been left alone with all the kids. They need a male and a female chaperone with those kids all the time.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good suggestion. Okay, Marie's made the motion. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Request for Canyon View Junior High basketball schedule.
And so right now it is basketball schedule, but it's more broad than that. What we're asking for is actually consideration kind of across all of the sports. These are things that come up during the year, not just necessarily for basketball. That just happens to be what has come up at this time. And I assume you received the information I sent, so you've had a chance to read the little write-up we put in. And so I'm just going to read only parts of it, but it says, it's our opinion at Canyon View, and I actually feel that this could be broadened to San Rafael also. I don't feel that this is necessarily unique to us, because I do know that these issues come up for them as well. It's our opinion at Canyon View that we should encourage growth in all aspects of the junior high or middle school experience. This includes academic as well as extracurricular opportunities. And I think we understand that due to the size of our local association, the number of actual games are pretty limited. You know, when you take into account the number of schools that there are actually part of this, and then the size of the school actually kind of determines if there's a varsity and a JV or just a JV. So there are a lot of issues that come up that way. So over the years, I know this is an issue that has come up a lot of times, and I actually feel like there's more than one question that kind of in play here. And so, again, some of the arguments that have been brought up against allowing this is that I've heard, is that it isn't fair to have a girls' team have more games or opportunities than the boy teams in the school. I don't think that any of the coaches have ever expressed that was a concern, but it might be that, you know, to have equal number of games as far as female and male. Another question that has come up, if Canyon View is going to have more games, then all the schools in the association should also have more games. Helper, Mont Harmon, Green River, Pinnacle. Again, I guess those opportunities, if this is opened up, everyone will have additional opportunities. In the Carbon District, there is a lot more opportunity there because of the way that their rules are set. And right or wrong, whatever. You know, another has been said that that we need to make sure that JV and varsity teams have the same number. That's never been, you can't work that out either way. The other question that has come up is that should our teams be able to travel outside of our area? So again, I think that's a separate issue. So today I would like you to think about a few things actually. That the opportunities to participate in these additional sporting activities at this time, it would benefit the students. When we look at what the ultimate goal is, the whole junior high / middle school program, it's just a feeder program. It's to actually create opportunities for those kids to gain skills and to become a little more ready to move on to that high school level. The reason that's important, I think, is I do think for some of our students, it does create some opportunities for them to further their education. Now, I'm not saying any of our kids are necessarily gonna move on to a professional sport. I live in the real world and I really believe education and the academics are number one. But I think that these other opportunities do create opportunities for our students to stay involved in school, create a better skill base for them as they move on to the high school. And it just benefits all the schools, not just Canyon View necessarily. So, over the past few years, several years, there have been a lot of opportunities that schools will call and want to schedule games. For example, Salina, we've had teams want to come from South Sevier, from Moab, from a lot of different places. And one of the things they always ask, if we come and play there, will you come here and play? And the answer generally has been, nope. We can't. You're welcome to come and play us. And so what often happens is, okay, we turn it into a traveling team. A traveling team will go play them. Their school team will come and play us, which I guess one way or the other is probably going to happen. But I would just like some clarification on what we are going to say is acceptable, what we're going to promote as a district or as a school, so that we can say to our coaches, yes, this is okay, no, this isn't okay. So it isn't kind of left up in the air every time one of these opportunities comes up.
Well, my feeling is that we need to see something in writing. The teams are there, they're, you know, the possibilities before,
okay,
rather than to give a blank okay, you know,
okay,
whatever you, but I think a proposal that we add, you know, show us the game so that we can,
okay,
see. We're dealing with sixth graders, seventh,
yes,
graders, eighth graders.
Why.
So it's a different ball game. This is kind of a new area that we kind of want to fill out a little bit,
mm-hmm,
before we. But I think if you proposed, so we could see how many games and where they're going and who it involves, I think at least that's
so
my
I
feeling.
Would like to.
And a copy of
so
the schedule.
So I have Johnny Nielsen
now
here with us tonight, and he's our girls' coach. So for example, there have been some opportunities already come up that I've had to say to him, no, we can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, because we need to,
mm-hmm,
go to the board first.
Yeah, we can understand.
You know, there have been
that.
Some things with Roosevelt. Another example, San Juan is bringing a team to Mont Harmon in a couple of weeks, and they asked if our, this is a boys one,
mm-hmm,
if our boys could come over and they could play San Juan, they could play Mont Harmon, so there would be a couple of extra games.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I told him the same thing. We'll have to wait and see what kind of a decision is made before I can tell you that our junior high team can do that. So as far as having a definite schedule at this point, we don't, because we didn't know,
right, yeah,
what would be allowed and what wasn't.
But you have You have a copy of the schedule as it is now somewhere.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to get a copy of that.
I can provide you with
if you
that
could
in
do
your
that.
Oh, good, good.
Like,
that will help us.
Yeah.
Like Tuesday and Thursday.
That would be helpful.
Okay. And a lot of these games end up coming up on like a weekend, on a Saturday or something, when there isn't already something scheduled at the school. And like I said, this isn't unique to basketball. This just happens to be where it is now. There have been several times during the football season this same idea has come up. And I think there have been things during the volleyball that even teams have wanted to come and play, set up little round-robin kind of tournaments. That again, we don't know really where we stand on this, if this is an okay thing or if it isn't okay.
So are they always other school teams, or are they travel teams that want to come play our school
teams? A lot of the ones
that
call, they're schools.
For us,
actual
it's schools.
Right.
I like the idea of giving our kids the opportunity to play other schools and kind of broaden our base right there. I'm all for it, honestly.
One of my concerns
I do
is kids being out of school.
Yeah.
So are the times on your schedule? I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
Well, I do see that the idea of possibly having a schedule, and I mean, it's kind of tough right now, but, you know, having that. But other than that, I'm all for broadening these opportunities for these kids.
From my standpoint, I would also say that all of our junior high games are scheduled to start at 3:30, except when Canyon View and Santa Fe play, just to give the students the opportunity to be involved in that. And that would be kind of where I would keep that. I wouldn't begin the games before school is out. However, I guess depending on if we allow our team to travel, they may have to miss some school time with that.
And that's our consideration.
Right.
We need to make sure that
exactly.
we're not taking kids out of school too much.
Right.
And I think
There's also issues with transportation,
exactly.
the cost of transportation.
Right.
But what I want to point out is that we have policy that precludes junior highs from going outside the Carbon-Emery area for
right
athletics.
Yes.
So if you go that direction, then it would require an amendment, a rewrite of the policy. And I can put something together at the appropriate time if that's what you'd like to do.
I think part of that, I did try to address some of that just in this broad, but
right.
we can give you that. We can give you the current schedule. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you?
Perfect. Yeah. We
do you want to work with Larry on maybe changing that policy and maybe putting it on next month's agenda?
I think
agenda?
We better talk about it as a board first.
Yeah.
I think
I agree.
We'd need to talk about it as
yes.
a board first also.
But we'd be happy to provide you with whatever other information you need as far as that goes. But there isn't a set schedule as far as the extra games go because, again,
right.
that
yeah,
was in that
yeah.
shady
understood.
Area where.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is required that you submit your schedules to the
right.
board, which you did,
mm-hmm.
and they approved it.
Right.
So anything that would come after they've approved it would
right.
have to be approved again.
Reapproved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's 10 games currently.
And that's what we kind of,
that's
what we looked at.
That's playing the team twice, home and away.
Right,
so
right.
Plus the tournament.
And I'm understanding that, especially since this impacts basketball, if you could get us that schedule tonight,
I can
so
give
we
you
could
that schedule tonight. I
be looking at it as soon
now.
As possible.
Right.
That would be helpful.
That would be, yeah.
Okay.
Let us look at all the implications before we.
Well, we do. Okay,
right.
so we'll give you the current schedule, correct?
Right.
We don't have a,
right.
a future
no,
no,
one.
Right.
No,
no,
we
no.
haven't.
Right, right, right. That will. Let us look at it. We can't do anything tonight,
exactly.
but we will look at it.
Okay.
And thank you for your your presentation. Approval of job description, technology field technician.
Okay. So in your packet, you should have a copy of this proposed job description. Sorry, I'm finding mine as well. It's in my portion of the pack right there. Okay. Two pages front and back. And as we had talked about earlier in working towards the future direction of the technology department, we would like to have a more entry-level technician position. And so we've done a job description survey, wage survey for that type of a position. And working with Doug, have developed this job description for approval. We're, tonight, we're not presenting this with the idea of immediately going and hiring somebody. So we're not asking for your permission for a new position, but to approve the position in and of itself, so that we have a job description to work off of. And then we would, if it were approved, we would sit down and try to develop a specific direction for what we need as far as hiring for the rest of this year or looking forward. Are there any questions on the description itself? Okay. We are proposing to put the position at pay grade 9 on the classified wage schedule, which fits pretty much in line with other districts of our size for a similar type of position. Not all districts have an identical position to what we're proposing, but they do have similar, and we feel like the pay grade of 9 puts us in line where we would be competitive. In that area. But this particular position going forward would be a really good thing for the tech department.
Right. Okay, any discussion on that?
I move that we approve the job description as it's been presented, if nobody else has questions or comments.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have the principal's report. Yvonne, you just get to jump up and down.
I know, I'm so sorry.
This is great.
And Mr. Davis and Ryan, they had to hear me this morning as well as they were in our faculty meeting, so they've heard a lot of it today.
Oh, I got a headache, too.
It's been a long day for you.
But this year we've had a few changes at Canyon View. You know, quite a few changes, actually. So we have a new principal, we have a new shop teacher, and he's with us tonight, Dan Springer. And you can see some of the work that they've created in the shop. They've done some really interesting projects this year. And the 3D printer, so some of those things, the green and red things sitting on that table, that was all done with his 3D printer, which I still find quite fascinating. I can't quite get the whole grip of it yet. But it is quite interesting. We also have two new language arts teachers with us this year. We have Jody Citrin that we got from Cleveland Elementary and Shanda Wingett, who are both doing a great job. Some of their work, this comes from the ninth grade from Jody Citrin's class, and these were actually projects that were done together with the computer tech class, with Mrs. Jennings' class. And so this was part of what they made to kind of fulfill a requirement in both classes. So our language arts teachers are doing a great job. We have a new science teacher, Carl Jensen. We have three new educational assistants, Amanda Abaglund, Karma Galloway, and Melissa Jensen. We have a new cheer advisor, Tiffany Hansen. We have a new head custodian, Alan MacArthur. We have a new part-time custodian, Jody Taylor. And then we've also had a lot of changes to our community council as well, which has been, we've had a lot of great things happen. I feel really fortunate to have gained the people that we did. It was a little touch and go there at the beginning of the year, but it has worked itself out and things are good. I think we're in a good direction. One of the things that we've started this year in an effort to focus on a lot more positive areas of the school is we have a Cougar Pride program. I'll give you just a basic of it. And so these are just some of the characteristics that we feel are really important for our students to develop. These are just posters that each of the teachers have hanging in their classrooms that kind of describe what it is we're looking at with our students. And these make them not only great students, but also great community members that then have some skills that they can take out and put into play in their communities that also make them great community members. It's been, I think, a pretty positive program so far. We've got some of our teachers here, and they aren't saying no yet. But it has put a little extra effort on them. They have to give out every day 3 of our little pride cards, and they have to list a specific thing that the student has done to earn that, that goes along with one of the qualities that we're focusing on. And then the students turn these into the office. So they kind of get a little pat on the back for a good thing from the teacher. They bring it to the office. We get to kind of give them a little pat on the back again. And then at the end of the month, we send these home to parents. So it's been, parents have been pretty excited to get these cards in the mail. In addition to that, again on the teacher end, they also make phone calls or send postcards or send a message to one of the three parents every day. So that's been another thing that we've had a lot of positive feedback from parents on, as they go to the mail and they get these nice things and they're kind of excited about it. So we feel like it's been a good program up till now, and it's helped us focus our attention on good positive things instead of always picking up those quick bad things, because it's easy to find them. We've also made some changes in our lunch probation policy that we had at the school. And students that are struggling with some type of behavior, at lunch, instead of just sitting them in a room where they sit and feel bad that they're stuck in that little room, we work on some specific behaviors. If they're in there for too many tardies, they get to read and have a little bit of question answer about tardies. So I think it's been positive from my end. I'm not sure they love it, but but anyway, it's been good on this end. Another thing that we started is a homework lunch program. You know, we have a homework program in place for after school, but there are students that have some other responsibilities that have to be taken care of after school that doesn't allow them to stay after school to get that help. And even though our lunch is, it's not real long, but it's time to get things started. Some of these kids are asked to be there. They're invited specifically if they have an F. Students that don't have an F are still welcome to come and receive help. And we divide them by grade level so that it's easier for us that are working with them to focus on specific classes. And it's been pretty positive. To give you an example of why it appears to be working at this point, from first quarter last year, we've been able to cut the number of Fs we had first quarter this year in half. So it seems to be working at this point. So far, second quarter, that's going to end on Friday, again, we have just under half, as I checked just this afternoon. So it seems to be doing something good. So we're going to continue it at this point. Our athletic teams this year have been quite successful. We have some great coaches that put in a lot of time and take a real interest in the students and really try to build them up and work on those skills that they have and teach them some new skills that they haven't been able to develop yet. At the first part of the year, we had an anti-bullying assembly. The man's name was Josh Dreen, and it was a really positive, good assembly. It was about anti-bullying, but he doesn't focus on the negative end of it. Again, he brings out the positive aspects. What can we do to promote positive behaviors instead of negative? After the assembly, he met with our student council, and they talked and worked out some ideas, and one of the things that they came up with is we had a kindness wall for about a month out here on our trophy case, the glass case as you walk in. Each of the students, every day they had an opportunity to write something positive about somebody else on a sticky note and stick it up on the window. And the case was, it was all covered in not very long time, and the kids were kind of excited to read them every day and see what was up there, see what nice things somebody was doing. As our faculty, one of our early professional developments that we worked on is we looked at some of our test data and we realized that reading is an area that we have a lot of students struggle in. And if a student can't read, they aren't going to do well in any area. It doesn't matter what the core class is or non-core class is. They need to be able to read. So this second quarter, we have focused our learning strategies on specifically reading. And we talked about some different strategies, and each teacher kind of gets to decide how they put that into play. We have some teachers that read the book aloud to their class and the students follow along. We have some teachers that play an audiobook and the class follows along. We have some teachers that take turns reading as they go through the class, so each student has an opportunity to read. So they've kind of incorporated a lot of things, and then there were some classes where it was full of really good, strong readers, and so they still allowed them to do individual reading. So we gave them the STAR test before we started this. In the next couple of weeks, we'll give all the students the STAR test again, so we'll be able to see, has this helped? So I hope it has. We'll see. I have to let you know on that. We know that, or I know that, I have a lot of things to learn about being an administrator, for sure. But we have a lot of really great teachers in this school that care about what the kids are doing and that want them to succeed. And so I think we're moving in some good positive directions. We have a lot of good things still planned and coming up for the remainder of the school year. And so we're excited about that, and you're always welcome and encouraged to come and just be part of our school, whatever it is we're doing. That's it.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you, Yvonne. I had the opportunity to come and visit, and there's some remarkable things that are happening here. We appreciate your energy and your enthusiasm and the teachers here. And it seems like a lot of you are new, but it's coming together very well. And thank you for your work with kids. We appreciate it.
Lots of positive energy.
Yeah, isn't that nice? That's nice. Kids can feed off of that very, very well. So thank you. Let's go to the business administrator's report. Jared?
Just one item. I had talked to most of you a month or so ago about the child nutrition audit or review that we had with the State Board of Education, and just mentioned that when we got a copy of the official report, I would give that to you, and that's what this is. Okay. Just received this yesterday, and so I'll invite you to review that on your own time, but I just want to compliment all of our employees in the child nutrition program, because one of the ending comments from the review was that it was the cleanest review they had had with any district in the state.
Wow.
And I think that says a lot. And there are a few small things, recommendations to look at, but several commendations as well at the start of the report. So if you'd like to read through that, please call me with any questions that you have, or if you're wondering what we're going to do about any of the recommendations that were given as well. But I just wanted to mention that and express appreciation to our child nutrition employees. They did the review both at the district office and then at two schools, which were Farron and San Rafael. And so the employees at those two schools were visited in person, and they actually looked at the lunch process and breakfast and how everything is done, and were very complimentary. But this review goes over all of the compliance of both federal and state requirements, and I think the more you know about child nutrition, the more you realize how substantial those requirements are. There's a big book of them, but anyway, if you have any questions, please give me a call.
Thank you, and pass on our congratulations to them. That it is a difficult program to administer. It's a lot of things that they have to take into account with students and nutrition, so. Superintendent Davis, report.
Yeah, thank you. If you will refer to the school board bulletin in your packet and kind of follow as I go through that. Regarding good news and some recognition, I just want to report and kind of dovetail with Yvonne's report on my site visits and class visits with our new teachers and some of the teachers that have transferred within the district, and report that I've seen some very high quality instruction there. I see a lot of potential. Where there have been weaknesses or areas that need maybe professional development, I've reported that and had discussions with the school level administrators. But it's been very enjoyable for me, and a lot of it's been interactive for me as well. And it's been a joy for me to get back into the role of teaching, even if it's just for a few minutes with kids. So that's been very rewarding. Also, I'd like to recognize the passing of Patricia Kornberg, who was a longtime teacher at Bookcliff Elementary, and also acknowledge the retirement of Gail McDonald, who was secretary for many years at Huntington Elementary. Her retirement in part had to do with her health. and we hope that she is improving. Under staffing, we did fill Gail's position with Donette tonight, but that leaves a computer lab aide position open at Huntington. And Ralph and Principal Johnson are working on that, and we'll close that soon. Also, we had a resignation at Cottonwood Elementary, Jody Cox, effective February 1st. And we are looking at our options there. One thing that we are considering is finding, if possible, a certified long-term sub. And the reason that we place that as kind of a high priority is because of the transition and the movement of faculty and staff with high school and middle school and elementary school. So we'll be working on that and putting that together, working with John Hughes, principal at Cottonwood. Under enclosures, reports, follow-up, and discussion, in your packet is a letter that I've drafted for your consideration, requesting any of our teachers or administrators who are planning on retiring or resigning at the end of the school year, or considering that, strongly considering that, to make notification to district office staff, supervisors, or to myself, to facilitate the staffing at Emory High School, our new middle schools, and again with the elementaries. It is, I think, a letter that expresses appreciation for the work that people have done. It's been an enormous job. We're right in the meat of it right now, and we're going to be looking at staffing real soon. So we need to know. That will help us. So if the board has no objections, then I will get that letter out as soon as possible. If there are some suggestions or any editing or anything, then
well, we're at as usual. So.
Okay. I appreciate that, and we'll get that out to our teachers and administrators within the next couple of days. Also, I want to let you know that because Initiative B passed in the last election in the state of Utah, we are going to see a 30% increase in our lands trust funding to schools. That's huge. That's a lot of money. Now, we have to remember that it's not going to be huge for the elementary schools because they're losing a grade. It's not going to necessarily be huge other than 30% for the middle schools because they're going to keep about the same numbers. They will see the 30%. But the high school will have an additional 150 students. Part of the funding formula involves the student body numbers. So we are working with principals who will be working with their community councils in ways to best utilize that money. It's kind of a windfall for us, but at the same time, we have to spend that money wisely. It has to come from community council plans, and we have discussed a lot with our principals about maybe combining resources with the district rather than just calling on the district to fund projects and things like that we currently do with capital outlay projects. So, and we're seeing some cooperation there, they understand. But this is a really good thing for our school district and school kids throughout the state. Also, an update on the break-in at Book Cliff I want to discuss because it involves legal matters in closed session, so I'll hold that. I've listed the schedule for the state legislature. I won't go through everything. But again, point out February 17 is USBA on the Hill. You probably heard that in every breakout session you went to. So if you can make any of those, I will be up there a lot, and I will report back, of course, to the board and to the administrative council, our principals, on developments there. And a couple of things in development. I am working on a recognition program. I think that it would behoove us to really honor as well as recognize a lot of the good things taking place in our district, and invite people in who have accomplished things. And I'm looking at any stakeholder, whether it's faculty, staff, student, a citizen, parent. There are so many good things going on, and I'd just like to put together a proposal to honor that kind of service to our school district. So with your permission, I'll proceed with that and present that in a future meeting. And also, I'm working on a state of the district report. This will be a narrative, but it will include all of the pillars of our school district, and just a breakdown that will be presented to the board in the spring. So that's forthcoming. And under board member committee involvement updates, the most active committee right now is the technology grant. And I don't want to get started on that, but the funding for that has not yet been released. That's $70,000 to the Emory School District. The plan is in place. It has been approved by the technology committee coming out of the state office and UTEN. The state school board needs to do the final approval. The sponsor of that bill, Howard Stevenson, has asked the state board not to approve any plans. He wants those plans to go back to the school districts for additional work. Whether the board goes with his request or whether they go ahead and approve release of that funding so that we can get it to our students, I don't know. I know the state board meets Friday, and it is not on their agenda that I could see. So unless they have an addendum or something like that, there won't be any action in the January 13 meeting. So we're waiting to see what happens. It was a hot topic of discussion in the superintendent's meeting last Thursday. I'm sick of talking about it. I think you're sick of hearing about it. There are others in the room that have pretty much had enough of this, but we do have a really good plan in place. We just need the go-ahead, the funding, the letter of authorization. We'll begin immediately, so that's my report, unless there are any questions.
Think so, but thank you. That's exciting to get a recognition program and state of the district report. That helps us look at ourselves, warts and all, and make improvements and see what we need to, how we need to proceed. So thank you for all that you do and your office. Any public comments? It's great to have this many teachers here.
I have a
Julie. Middle schools. Is it that your?
Yes, will be middle schools, 6 through 8.
But we're going to call it like Canyon View Middle School,
yes.
Right? Okay. So we will be changing the name.
Yvonne will be asking for money to buy a new sign.
A new letterhead.
We were going to come up with something a little more catchy.
but we're possibly open to negotiation.
Yeah.
Come up with something good enough, maybe.
I think maybe there's something awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support and for being here and for all that you do. We do have closed meeting items, so.
I move that we go into closed session for what?
Legal
matters?
And personnel.
And personnel actions.
Thank you.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you for your time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
To go to school all day and then come back at night is.